It's now my pleasure to introduce my congressman and my friend, Colin Peterson.
Thank you, Bill, and he's a real genius behind the music performance last night. He organized everything, and give him a big hand. He was great on the guitar last night. Bill and I have played together out in the woods a couple times in Minnesota. Well, it's a pleasure to be with you, and we're going to share a few thoughts and then hopefully save some time for some questions. Kenny Holsoff and I, our good friends, were in different parties, but I think, are an example of what should be done in the Congress, and that is to work on issues based on what makes sense for the country and not worry too much about what the partisanship is. And I think one of the things that is good about the band is that it gives us a chance to spend enough time together so we get to know each other on a personal basis, and that helps bridge a lot of differences. One of the problems in Washington we have is that so many members don't know each other and don't get a chance to know each other, and it causes us a lot of problems. As Bill said, I'm now the chairman of the Ag Committee. This is the year that we reauthorize the Farm Bill. The Farm Bill expires September 30th, and we are in the process of getting started on working on that. The initial challenge that we have is getting adequate baseline funding so that we can write the kind of Farm Bill that we want. We are a victim of our own success to some extent, and you folks, a lot of you folks in the ethanol industry and corn growers and so forth have had a role in this because, you know, one of the reasons that our prices are better is because of the use of our crops and biofuels, particularly ethanol. And because the prices are projected to be better for the next number of years, the baseline spending in the Farm Bill is going to be down 45% in the commodity titles from what it was in 2002. you know, we've got, we don't get that money. The fact that we've saved $60 billion doesn't inure to us in some other part of the Farm Bill. It just disappears. The current Farm Bill was a pretty much of a success. We had 11 hearings around the country of the full committee and a lot of other subcommittee hearings. And basically what we heard from farmers was they liked the 2002 bill and they just wanted us to keep it going. And that's probably what we'll end up doing pretty much in the commodity title. There's still some other needs. Conservation people had some of their money taken away by the appropriators. They'd like to have some of that put back. And, you know, we've got some issues to work out. But the thing that we're the most, one of the things I'm the most focused on is adding a significant energy component to the Farm Bill. We did a little bit of this in 2002. We authorized some programs. Some of those never got off the ground. Some of that money was taken by the appropriators. But, you know, we feel we have a role, so we added a energy subcommittee in the committee structure this time. And, you know, we're going to be working through that. Our timeline is once we get the budget resolution established, so we know how much money we have to deal with, we will, which will probably be sometime in April, mid-April to late April, we'll start writing the bill. We intend to have the bill through the committee by the July 4th break, have it off the floor by the August break, and have it to the president's desk in September. This has not been done for probably 20 years. We have never done the Farm Bill on time, but Senator Harkin and myself are committed to getting it done this time in the regular order. We're also going to do something that hasn't been done since 1981, and that is we're going to write the Farm Bill in subcommittee out in the open with amendments and everybody knowing what's going on. I think that's the best way to do things, and both of us are committed to operating in that way. So at least when we get done, people will know how we got to where we are and why we did it. In the biofuels area, we're trying to get some significant resources put into the bill because it's not in the baseline. And in the House, at least, we've been looking at H.R. 6, which freed up a certain amount of money that was going to be competed for by three or four different committees, but we think we have a chance to get some of that allocated to the Ag Committee. And primarily what we're going to be focused on is a lot of research and actual practical application of developing the feedstocks for cellulosic ethanol. I have in my district a lot of corn ethanol plants. Minnesota has been a leader in this area, and they're doing pretty well. I keep telling folks that maybe our biggest challenge in corn ethanol is just to make sure that our colleagues don't screw things up. One of the things that's happened is that everybody in Congress now has discovered ethanol and biodiesel. And typical of members of Congress, when they discover something that's popular and something that they think is something that should be supported, they all want to introduce a bill to help it. And about half of these bills that have been introduced, in my judgment, or maybe more, are going to cause more harm than good. And so a lot of our work is going to be just not doing any harm to the corn ethanol industry and biodiesel and so forth. There is work that needs to be done. We're having more and more concerns brought to us by the livestock industry and the effects of these prices and all the corn going into ethanol. So some of the research we're going to do will probably focus on the area of getting, trying to improve the feed rations, some of these ideas of pulling the protein and fiber and oil out of the corn before it goes into the ethanol process. And there's some work being done in that area now in the private sector and then some of the universities, but this is something we have to pay attention to, and so we will be doing some things in that area. There's other ideas about using biomass gasification to replace the fuel that's used in the ethanol process. So in the corn ethanol area, that's probably the kind of things that we're going to focus on. In cellulose, we've got some challenges. You know, in the 2005 energy bill, there was a loan guarantee grant program set up that was supposed to get these first cellulose plants built. And that has not been progressing very well. One of the problems, in my judgment, is that the energy Department of Energy really shouldn't have been the ones that was given this authority. I think it should have been given to USDA. Department of Energy hasn't made any guaranteed loans, and I don't know if they've ever made any. And they're struggling with getting this stood up. We are having discussions, I am, with other committees of jurisdiction and folks in the administration about whether we should take that and switch it over to USDA because they know how to do this stuff. They know how to make loan guarantees, and I think it would be a more likely place to get this accomplished. But initially, we have to get these first cellulose plants up and running, three or four of them. And it's going to take federal loan guarantees and federal grants to make this happen. So that's the one challenge. Initially, from what I can tell, these plants are going to be run on stuff that's out there right now, wheat straw, so forth, will be the feedstock for these initial plants. But long term, if we're going to get to any kind of a market penetration that's been talked about or the president's goal of 35 billion gallons, we're going to have to do more than just put wheat straw or rice straw into these plants. And so we're going to focus a lot on trying to figure out what are the best biomass feedstocks that we ought to be growing to supply these cellulose plants. And initially, it looks to me like we may do a lot of this work in actually gasifying this biomass and incorporating it in the corn ethanol process. That will help us figure out a lot of the problems that are going to be out there in dealing with this, with these crops. We've got a lot of issues. Farmers, you know, switchgrass, for example, if we're going to grow switchgrass or some blend of switchgrass and warm season grasses, this is something that farmers have not done. Their fathers didn't do it, their grandfathers didn't do it, so we've got a lot of education getting people to understand how to do this. Secondly, there's a lot of issues with how do you deal with this, how do you cut it, bale it, get it into the process, set up an efficient system to work with it. We've got some information that's out there. In Iowa, there's this Sheraton Valley outfit that's been doing switchgrass for the last 9 or 10 years. They've learned a lot of things, but we've got a lot of issues on how do you deal with this. And when you get to other kinds of things like wood or pine needles or sweet sorghum or some of these other things that are being talked about, there are just a lot of issues on how do you get, you know, not only grow the crops, but how do you deal with getting them into the system in an efficient way. And then, of course, we've got the issues of developing the enzymes, and which is going on in the private sector. But, you know, we're trying to figure out how we can be helpful in getting all of this accomplished. There's research going on in universities and other places in these areas. There's been people that have been growing this on a test basis. In some of these crops, I think we know enough about it now, and we know that there's probably enough biomass that can be grown at an economical rate that it's maybe time to go out and try to commercially grow some of this stuff. And so one of the things I'm looking at is maybe creating some pilot areas, say in a 50-mile area where we would go in and grow these crops and actually pay farmers so much an acre to grow these biomass crops to learn how to do all this stuff. Because what I'm concerned about is that we're going to get these plants established, people are going to figure out that they work, and then we're not going to have the be ready to grow the biomass and to deal with the biomass getting into the system to allow this industry to keep growing. So we may set up some pilot projects where we know enough about it. For example, maybe in Minnesota we'll have a pilot area where we'll grow monoculture switchgrass, we'll grow different kinds of blends with blue stem and forbs and other kinds of things, and see what works the best, see what produces the most biomass for the least cost and the least fertilizer and gives you the best average yields and those kinds of things. So, you know, those are some of the ideas that we've gotten so far and how to proceed with this. Obviously, we don't have all of the answers, and we'd very much look forward to working with any of you that have ideas. Ann Simmons from my committee, who a lot of you probably know, is somebody that you can interact with. You know, it's become interesting. I feel like you almost, you know, in the old days, you know, if you grew up on a farm and you kind of knew how things work, you could survive on the Ag Committee. But now it seems like you have to be a biochemist or a chemical engineer in order to be on the Ag Committee. I got all these guys coming in talking to me about splitting carbon from oxygen and whatever they're talking about. I have no idea. That was not my strong point in college, but I'm learning, and we're willing to learn. So we're excited about these opportunities. I know that you are, I think, as well. I think this is the most exciting thing that's happened in agriculture in my lifetime, maybe longer than that. We have a huge opportunity here to transform rural America. We're hoping that as this industry continues to grow, that we can keep a place farmers and rural residents and the ownership of these plants. I think this is very important from those of us that represent rural districts. You know, we don't have to own all of the plants, but we need to have some opportunity to be part of that because, first of all, I think it's a good business model, but second of all, it will help us transform these rural communities and get them heading back in a good direction rather than diminishing like they've been. So we look forward to working with all of you. I've talked longer than I should have. I'll let Kenny Holsoff talk to you about whether tax credits are going to be extended and all those other issues that they have on the Ways and Means Committee. But we are excited about this opportunity. We are hoping that on the Ag Committee we can do the right kind of things, set the right kind of policies in place so that we can help grow this industry and not do things that are going to do more harm than good. And that's our goal. So I appreciate the chance to be with you. Look forward to answering any questions, and I'll turn things back to